back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband. And, you know, with the mailbox being full for this long, and, you know, if the call phone number is for E-System South, this is more confirmation that E-System South is no more. So what's happened with my wife? You know, what is she doing? Well, obviously, I wouldn't know. I'm just her husband. And, you know, then it does concern me. You know, especially with the isolation, there was the door open with Julia, and she closed it, which obviously concerns me. So, you know, this, I know this is something that it's a term that I know is offensive to many, but the idea of showing love, you know, that simply doesn't seem to be allowed. I am wondering, because my day didn't go as all that well. But one of the things I did, because while eating, I saw some things, and the thought came to mind, I wonder if my wife is glad that we did not move to Redmond, Washington. Because you may recall, in 2007, I flew out there to take a job with Microsoft. Because obviously my efforts were not going well. Gee, where have we heard this before? So I went in, and I was fine there. It was easy to fit on. I was already, you know, well up. You know, I started not at the bottom, but I started well up in the pay scale already. And I could have fit in fine if I just played along. But one, I don't play along well. Two, you know, I spent some time going around there, and I said, no, this culture is not good for my family, for my kids. So, you know, we ended up at Westar, which obviously had its own issues. But watching what's happening now, some of the things that are happening, especially what I see in Seattle, I don't see as much in Redmond, but Seattle, which is basically right next door, is like, you know, we're, you know, Cleveland versus Chattanooga. It's about kind of roughly the same thing. And it's really, the place is collapsing. The place really is collapsing. And the culture there is similar to in a lot of respects, not identical, but very similar to the culture in California, where obviously I grew up. You know, and I spent some time in Los Angeles, obviously spent a couple of years in near Riverside at March Air Force Base, and grew up in Santa Barbara, and spent a little bit of time just, you know, off and on. It probably adds up maybe to only a couple of months in the San Francisco area. And the San Francisco area, Palo Alto, you know, the Silicon Valley area, is collapsing, probably faster than any other place. The some of the stuff you see is ridiculous. And, you know, occasionally, well, I watch this. There's this woman, she's in Georgia, I think, and she has her videos. She calls her, goes by the moniker Really Graceful. And she does a lot of artsy, craftsy stuff with her videos, but the content is usually quite good. It's somewhat redundant and so forth, but it's usually quite good. And I haven't put any on my site until today, simply because she put one on called Meanwhile in California, which, you know, kind of related to this idea. And because she did a little thing about this one gentleman who has been promoting a lot of laws within California that moves the power of the family to the state. You know, this is what communism is. You know, the communism, stated goal of communism is to is to destroy the family. I mean, it's the Communist Manifesto says it directly. So, you know, you're moving yourself to that collectivist idea. And you're seeing it happen, you know. You know, they call it the Left Coast or the People's Republic of California, things of that nature. But the reality is, that's what's happening. And you can see it especially in the big cities. San Francisco is probably the most obvious. And a whole bunch of, you know, one of the things is that was documented in that video is a lot of the large corporate players are simply closing up and leaving. And so two things about that. One is, in the video of this gentleman, describes him. He's a open homosexual. And what was fascinating, because when she did this and I saw this, and it's kind of like, okay, I recognize this. Because about a week before, June 6th, I saw this thing on RT and I thought, this is ridiculous. Because, you know, one of the things that RT would promote, you know, they seem to do two things. You know, when trying to make the West, specifically the U.S., but the West in general, in the sense of Western Europe and Canada, they will point to, you know, Biden's gaffes and whatnot, which, again, I think that's useless. But they'll point to the cultural degradation that happens in the West. So all they had to do is show a no-commented video. I don't know how long this is, from, you know, San Francisco drag queen honored at state capitol for some reason. They didn't have to do any commentary whatsoever. And this man with the purple hair, or blue hair, whatever, is being honored, you know, at the state capitol. The guy who's doing the introduction is this guy in the really graceful video. So it's kind of, okay, connected the two. And so I'll give you both of them there. But the thing that concerns me is, you know, again, when Vladimir Putin says, we don't want the culture of parent one, parent two, parent three, I find this fascinating because, remember, Marx and Engels were from Austria. Both of them Austria? I think both of them Austria. But they were in England when they wrote the Communist Manifesto, and they're buried there. And, you know, it was published there. But, you know, you have Marx and Lenin. Well, you have Lenin and Trotsky, who tried to bring it into Russia. And, of course, It was Trotsky who was funded, because he was in New York. He was funded and delivered back to Russia in order to be part of the revolution back in 1917, is it? And so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just something that happened within Russia. It was sponsored. And, you know, yes, he started from New York. However, he was Russian in the first place, and his funding came from the banks. So I don't say it was the U.S. I would say it was the financial community that did this, because they live on tension and other things. But, and of course, it helps aid control. But so that whole thing started, and what they grabbed onto, Marx, Lenin, and Lenin and the other guy. Anyway, when the revolution occurred, they brought in communism based on Marxism. Well, yeah, because you'll hear the difference between Marxism and Leninism, because there is some subtle differences in the sense of Leninism still has a little bit more of the hierarchy versus Marxism in its purest sense doesn't. But, you know, that's, you know, anyway. But that obviously transpired. And again, Marxism specifically is destroy the family. And you saw that happen. You saw the degradation of the family within Russia. And as it expanded to become the Soviet Union, and one of the things they did is, of course, they outlawed, you know, the officially atheists, they outlawed Christianity and Islam and other things. So that was gotten rid of. But then, of course, you know, communism doesn't work. The system collapsed. The fascinating thing, I think, is when communism collapsed, the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, it collapsed peacefully. You know, a bunch of the leaders of the various countries got together in one big, I believe it was a house, actually, you know, big house, somebody's mansion or palace or whatever, signed a document, and just like that, the Soviet Union was over. So the Soviet Union ended peacefully because, you know, obviously there was a whole lot of tension leading up to that moment and a lot of, you know, destruction and death. But when the resolution came, that was peaceful. However, a lot of companies, you know, the Czech guy who did the Velvet Revolution, because it was not let's fight against, it's let's make a parallel system, and let's, because he was overtly Christian, because he became the head of the Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia first, I think, while I was there. Anyway, I can't remember his name, but how normal. You know, because there was a lot of Christian influence, at least culturally Christian. And that has grown significantly to the point that obviously the Russian Orthodox Church has significant power. And of course, there's the issue of the tie between the Russian Orthodox Church and the state, the government of Russia, because, you know, Vladimir Putin and the guy, you know, with his hat, who's the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, they're seen together a lot. So, you know, there's a lot of issues there, but you saw the communism collapse because, again, communism doesn't work. However, and I think it was Khrushchev, I'm not sure, but he was one that said, you know, eventually the West will come towards communism. And of course, a lot of that was already in place, and I will contend the Federal Reserve System and especially Social Security is one of the major things that helped bring communism into the U.S. We don't call it that, but it is. You know, and of course, the government education system. So all those things brought communism, socialism at least. Because again, was it Marx? One of them says, socialism is simply the stepping stone to communism. So what you see happening, for example, in San Francisco or in California in general, you see that, you know, they're definitely socialist and communist in so many respects. You know, because they're pushing probably far more than any other state the idea of the universal basic income, which is a fundamental tenet of communism. So you see that happening there. And of course, besides the economic thing, the destruction of the family, and one of the best ways to destroy the family is destroy the role of a man and woman. And one of the ways to do that is of course, embrace homosexuality. And this is what we see in this drag queen. And so, you know, you see that overt in California. And what I see in that is the state's authority growing over the family. So, you know, that plus there's another video I'll give you, Everything for Rent. This is Truth Stream Media out of Texas. They've done some pretty interesting things. Again, they have a particular video style, but a lot of the stuff is quite provocative, quite good. And the theme of this particular program, you know, I had for a while, and there's a follow-up that I haven't seen. But the particular thing here is the move towards, planned obsolescence, and you rent everything. You know, nothing is yours. And what I'll also give you is the video from the World Economic Forum, which apparently they have removed from their website. But don't worry, it's on Kozlowski.org. The 8 predictions for the world in 2030, which they put out. I don't have the date on it. They put out a while back, and it didn't go over well, you know, because it has that you'll own nothing and you'll be happy idea. Because again, it's why do you want to own nothing? It is a part of this idea of communism. The system, the collective, the state owns everything. And you simply are a minion. And so you can see this happening. And of course, one of the ways that you have to do that, one is the economic aspect. The other thing is destroy the family. And, you know, I also threw in, because I also, you know, I did the plandemic thing a few days ago. There was some other videos. This is from 2022 about the difference between a fact checker and about fact checker and fake checkers. because it's a reminder of how an authority will tell you this is what's true. The authorities tell you what's true. Trust the authorities. Don't look at what you can reason through. So you put that all together, and it's don't trust don't trust your parents. Trust the authority of the state. I would suggest it has a very similar idea. Be part of that collective, the world collective. And this stuff concerns me a lot. You know, and one of the things you'll see with the collapse, the exodus of a lot of the major stores, they talked about some of the big stores in California shutting down because, you know, they keep getting robbed. Why bother? So they shut down. It's in Chicago, Walmart closed several stores. And I suggest one of the things that is an underlying factor here is you don't need to go to the store anymore. You'll get it delivered. Because the stores are unsafe. So they shut down the stores. And it helps build your isolation. And of course, the isolation, that helps with the same factor of being isolated from your family. What is the thing that happened during the pandemic? Whatever you want to call it. People were isolated. And a whole lot of people died because of loneliness. So, I mean, because it's a killer. It really is a killer. And, you know, I see all these things happening. And so that, just to set the stage, all those things to, you know, I see that. And then consider my email of yesterday. And no, there was no response. No surprise. But the way you see in California... No, because there was a some news anchor several years ago who said something about, you know, your kids don't belong to you. They belong to the collective, however it was said. Well, obviously, San Francisco is making that law because the laws that we're talking about introducing is, you know, if a kid wants to talk about, you know, sexual stuff or gender reassignment surgery, a polite way of saying self-mutilation, it wants to talk about that, you can't tell the parents because the parents have no authority. And of course, you know, again, fundamentally, I would say don't put your kids in public schools, period. It goes back, Vaclav Havel, the guy in the Velvet Revolution in the Czech Republic. It's not fight the system. It's ignore the system. He wrote about, it's one of my list of things to do to study those particular events, because the general idea that I understand is that that was the idea. It's not let's fight the Soviet system. Let's ignore it. And I would suggest the reason he got that idea is because he was a follower of Christ. And I would suggest that is obedience to Christ. You don't fight the system. You ignore it. So what I wonder about what may happen with my interaction with the state. One, obviously, they don't communicate. I mean, considering my efforts to communicate with them, it's almost a year now. And it's been pretty pathetic. There's two aspects there. One, I would suggest they, culturally, I don't think they would say this specifically, but culturally, that idea that we're the authority, and you're just a minion. I would suggest that probably is very much a part. Although there was the one woman who responded to me in one of the dialogues, because I stated repeatedly, my objective is reconciliation. And her response is, I hope you achieve that, or whatever it was said. So, you know, within these people, there are actual humans, people with compassion. But at the same time, it's the collective. And as I pointed out yesterday, you don't want to be efficient. And you do not do anything to damage your collective, because jobs are on the line. You know, if you become more efficient, then some of your coworkers may no longer be needed. And maybe not your coworker, maybe you. So we don't go there. We're a team. We rob together. It's the issue with the collective. So I really wonder how much, especially with my provocative email of yesterday, you know, that is definitely on the table. And tomorrow, I didn't have all that good of a day today. Tomorrow, start the morning with a hike. And I tend to do a longer one. I tend to do an 8-mile hike tomorrow. Starting with picking up my carts. And that really still scares me. Because by the time I get home, I'll pick up 1,000. By the time I get home, I'll probably have a reasonable number less than that. And because what is it? This whole idea of the demise, that you know, the power of the state, the demise of the family, we see in California, and Seattle, Washington, it is the same kind of thing. The objective of the World Economic Forum and all those kind of things. I'm going against that. But, like, since I remember his name, Vaclav Havel, my objective is not to fight the system, but to ignore it. And I want to go to people and give them the tools to ignore it. That is why, that is the whole objective behind the technology within Shofar Nexus. You know, it is so easy to say, yes, let's do something fancy and whatnot, because we have these big data centers. One of the things that fascinated me when I worked for bigger companies, you know, a good example was MedMind, which they were. I was in Alabama, in Birmingham, and they were doing medical software, one of several medical software companies I worked at. And, you know, they eventually sold to the company to Cardinal Health for like $120 million. It was all about money. And I remember it was just bigger and bigger machines, computers. It was, we don't have to worry about efficiency. We, you know, there was a Dilbert cartoons, you know, he's a cartoonist of years ago. I think he might still be around. I'm not sure. But I remember one cartoon from many, many years ago, because it was, you know, there's the engineering guys, and they had the cheap computer and say, oh, you know, it's taking so long because I have the low-end computer. And then the management guys saying, have you look how fast the mouse goes back and forth across the screen? You know, because when you have, when the objective is I have power and I want to use this power, and it doesn't matter if I waste money. So what I saw that in reality, in many cases, you know, it was the irony when I was at Magnavox, I was the guy with the computer. No one else had one because this is 1980. But that changed, you know, by the time you're 1990 or, you know, the 90s or even 2000s. Let's have massive computers. We don't have to be efficient. And I think that same mentality is let's have massive group of employees, a big staff. We don't have to be efficient. It is the same mentality. And you can have that mentality when you're part of a massive collective, and the collective continues to grow, and it becomes part of a large corporation, or it becomes part of the government, you know, the big collective. And that growth towards that big collective is the growth towards communism. Anyway, I was going to be short again, and I'm not. I am concerned when you see the collectivism grow, when you see it in the demise of the culture. Again, we saw the Soviet Union collapse, and it seems what came out of it is there seems to be a whole lot of rebirth, shall we say, of Christianity within the Czech Republic, within various parts of what was Yugoslavia. I'm not sure how much in Poland, although we did have a pope come from there. But, you know, I mean, Russia does have a very strong influence. But there is the institution, and then there's the follower of Christ. So there's a cultural influence, and there is this drive for the family. How much is the actual obedience to Christ is a separate question. But you see that grow back in the former Soviet states to a great degree. The West is collapsing very quickly. Europe is collapsing terribly. Canada, saying you're a follower of Christ, will get you arrested. I mean, there's so many places where you see pastors arrested and so forth and whatnot. But, you know, most of the... it's a problem. And, of course, in the People's Republic of California, you see it very strong. And then, of course, you know, here within Tennessee, there was the incident in, in Nashville, Vanderbilt University. Their focus is on gender reassignment surgery because it's big money. And it's an endless stream because once you do it, there's the follow-ups, and it happens for the rest of their lives. You know, which goes back to the thing, you know, because there was the thing from J.P. Sears who did that, the comedic version of it. And there's a thing from RT years ago, I want my sex back, that is kind of like people pay a price. And I think that reminder is important. I'll leave those two also. I'm concerned because, you know, obviously I have homosexuality in my family. I have atheism in my own family. And I have those who claim Christ. Yeah, right. Live it. No. We're part of the institution, so we're fine. Because, you know, when we stand before the Lord, the Lord's going to say, all right, did you follow a particular institution? No. Do you have a relationship with me? It's a big deal. Tomorrow I anticipate a scary day. Anyway, I am going to continue to pursue an effort as a flawed man striving to be obedient to Christ. I will continue to make a lot of mistakes along the way. Obviously, I was a little provocative yesterday. I'm leaving you some links of videos that are provocative in a different way. You know, when somebody says, "You brood of vipers," that's a provocative statement. Who was that? Oh, that's right, my Creator. The difference is, my Creator can judge the heart. I can't. It's something to keep in mind. But I can point to what He says. I can't judge people's hearts, but I can point to what He says and point to, excuse me, are your actions consistent? And I'm not going to try to outlaw you again. I don't have that authority. But I am called to proclaim. And as long as the Lord gives me breath and the ability, that's what I plan to do. Without compromise. With grace, seasoned with salt. In pursuit of reconciliation with my family and with the woman I've committed my life to. Who, for some reason, her phone doesn't work. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.